Let's see. Well, let's just begin reading in verse 1. Our text is 11 through 14, but let's begin in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And that's just the influence of Peter, isn't it? Peter says, I'm going fishing. And so the other disciples that were there, they said, well, let's go. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. To land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And now none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. We're going to be talking about Jesus filling our net this morning. And there's something Jesus has for us. And by the way, can I say that you have a need this morning, and only Jesus can satisfy that need. And you can look for it in other things, but you'll never find it. Your flesh will tell you. The devil certainly will try to tempt you that way. The world offers, just endless options, but you'll find nothing. You'll find nothing. Every time you'll find emptiness and nothingness, because Jesus is the only one who can fill your net. Amen. We're going to talk about that this morning, so let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. We need your grace. We need your help. We need your touch in our life. So I pray for your Spirit to work in us. And we'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You can be seated. One thing I love about what I get to do is, well, I guess I could say it this way. The thing that I love the most about what I get to do is studying and preaching the Word of God. Now, I do love everything I get to do. And I'm not just saying that. Even the hard things I really enjoy. But the preaching, the studying, I really enjoy this most of all. Because as we study through the scriptures, it's called expositional Bible preaching, Bible teaching and Bible preaching. And so with that, it means going verse by verse through the scriptures. And we've gone through the Gospel of John, and now we're getting close to the end of John. And we've taken it verse by verse. We've at least tried to not leave anything out. And we let God then, therefore, determine what the topics are. I don't go to my office and then try to discern what the topic of the next sermon is going to be. And it's actually relieving for me. I don't need to do that. I do go to my office and I open the scriptures and I study the next section of the passage that we're studying. And then I try to discern what God is saying in this passage. Because what's important to me, and it ought to be important to you, is that what is said from the pulpit is not the words of the pastor, but that it's the words of God. What we need this morning, we need to hear from God. You don't need to hear an opinion of man. You don't need to hear from man. You need to hear from God, and God gave us his word. So it's important to me that when we study the word of God, that we understand what God is saying. And then in that work, it's almost like God gives me something in the office as I'm studying and praying and seeking him. And when he gives that to me, then it's my privilege, it's my honor, it's my duty and responsibility, but my privilege to take what God gave me and then deliver it to you. And so that's what expositional Bible teaching is. Here's what's amazing about Bible preaching this way. Also, that God is the one who decides the topics. How amazing is it, okay, that you show up at church and it happens to be that pastor is talking about something that you're going through in your life. And you're like looking around. What is happening? How did he know that? Somebody told him. I know why he said that. I know why he said that. And you think that maybe something is said because of you, but that's not the case. As a matter of fact, God told Jeremiah, when he delivers the message, he said, don't look at their faces. So it's the job of the man of God to deliver God's message from God. And I don't look at the faces of the people because it's not between you and me. It's between you and God. You see? And so the message is delivered. It's expositional in that we're going through the scripture. God is deciding the next topic. And how many times has it been? Oh, I'm getting fired up here. How many times has it been that you've shown up and God had something for you? Amen. That was not good enough. Where are we awake this morning? How many times? Let's try again. This is your next chance right here, okay? That you showed up at church and the man of God, the preacher, delivered a message and it was just what you needed.
Amen.
Yeah, that's how he is. He works that way. Only he can do that. There was a family that was lost. Searching, looking for answers, and just going here to there, this church to that church, this church to that church, and then finally just like, man, I can't, we're just lost. And they quit trying. And they went like a year, maybe 2 years, and not even making any effort, and driving by our church. You know what, we need to try that church. And they're driving, how many of us, some of y'all are here because of that. You're driving by the church, you're like, we need to go to that church. We need to try that church. And then suddenly they came in. They just happened to come to church on that particular Sunday. We're in the Gospel of John. And they're just going here and there, not staying anywhere. And you know what the message was about that morning? It was just simply this: stay. That was the message. It was like, they were like, what just happened? It was like God showed up and was speaking directly to them. God wants to do that for all of us. He wants to. He has something for you. That's why we need to be here. Listen, if you can be it, listen, I understand sometimes we get sick or sometimes things happen and we're not able to be in the house of God. But if you can be here, you need to be here. You know why? Because God has something for you. This is beyond relationships. Now, part of it is relationships. It's not just about you, by the way. I should say that again. Maybe we need to hear it. It's not just about you.
Amen.
It's about all the people you see around you.
Right. Right. That's good.
In fact, the less you think about yourself, the more of a blessing you can be to somebody else, and the more joy God will give you.
Amen.
And so we come to church, and yeah, we want to be a blessing, and God encourages us, and we need those relationships. But it's not about the relationships with people around you. It's about our relationship with God, and we need to hear from Him. And so you need to be here so that you can hear from God, because He has something for you. He has something for you. And that's what the disciples needed to understand this morning. God is the only one who could fill their net. They fished all night. They fished all night. Now, these are fishermen. They'd done it all their life. They understood what it took. They understood the process. They knew where to go. They knew how to do the process of fishing and casting the net and putting it in the water at certain times. That's why they were fishing all night, because night was a good time to go fishing. And it would have never have been the case that you would fish all night with having lived a life of being a fisherman and come back with nothing, unless Jesus is trying to teach you something about life, that you try to live this life without Jesus, you're going to come back with nothing. And then Jesus shows up and begins to speak. And then suddenly Jesus says, cast on the other side. And the net then begins to fill up with fish. That's amazing to me. It ought to be amazing to you that we read this. Now, listen, it's not just like all the little tiny little fish, you know, started to go into the net. No. Look what it says. Look at verse number 11. This is amazing to me. And maybe you missed this. Simon Peter went up and drew the net full of great fishes. So it's not just like that it's being filled with fish. All of the fish that were in there were big. That's what great means. They were big. Now, how many of you have caught a big one, right? Like, oh yeah, it gets bigger every time you tell that story, right? These are great fish. They're big. And so here's what God is saying. I'm gonna fill your net. I'm gonna do for you what you obviously cannot do for yourself.
Amen.
And maybe you're missing that. And you're still trying. And you can try and try, but you're gonna be frustrated. You're gonna live this life in a lot of frustration because you're trying to do it without God. Oh, this is good. You know what he goes on and it says next in the passage? Because this net was not designed to have 153 big fish in it. And so there's a caveat tapped onto the end of this verse to say, and the net wasn't broken. Almost to say, whoa. I mean, this net was not like designed to have this much fish in it. And it has, this thing's not just loaded, this thing is overloaded. And the net isn't broken. I wasn't going to come down here, but here we go. Like, let's go. Do you know what God is saying? I really believe this. You know what God is saying here? That you can go, you're going to go out there in this world and you're going to look for answers in life. But here's what you're going to find. You're going to find brokenness.
Right.
I'm going to say that again. That was pretty good. You're going to go out into this world. And by the way, let's not pretend like we don't do this. Let's not pretend like we don't leave this place and temptation of the devil comes along the way and tries to allure us to a different path, something else other than God, other than the way he wants us to go in our thinking, in our actions, in our deeds, in the way that we navigate this life. And so there's temptation. The world allures us. Our lust and our flesh sort of gets involved and draws us away. And what we'll find out there is brokenness. What we'll find out there is nothingness, emptiness, just brokenness. That's what the world gives you. But when Jesus fills your net, here's what he does. He fills it to capacity and there's no brokenness. No brokenness with God. That's what he does. And so you can either choose his path or you can choose the world's path. But the path of this world is going to leave you broken. I said it's going to leave you broken. That was free. Look at verse number 12. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes. Oh, I said verse 12. I'm starting to read verse 11. I'm sorry, verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Now this is where, to me, this is where it gets really exciting in the sense that the net is full, and Jesus is sending a message to the disciples. Without him, they've got nothing, just brokenness and emptiness. And then Jesus fills the net to capacity, and the net is unbroken to say, this is what it can be with Jesus. And then Jesus is on the shore, and he says, come and dine. So it's like Jesus doesn't just want to give them the imagery that he's there for them. Watch this. Jesus is literally there for them. He's on the shore. He says, listen, you've been doing it on your own. You've been doing it without me. And here I am. I'm on the shore, and I want you to come and dine with me. What is that? What is come and dine? You know what I like to do? I like to eat. Raise your hand if you like to eat. Okay. That was we're Baptist. Amen. That was like all the hands. Jesus said, come and dine. It's not just about the food. It's about the fellowship. Jesus is saying, I'm here and I want to fellowship with you. I want you to know that I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be here for you in this process. And we know that God used this to bring that affirmation to the disciples. Well, you say, how do you know? Look at verse number 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself. Did you know that that's like a summary? That's like an editorial note. That's not part of the narrative. That's John the Apostle saying, oh, and by the way, that's the third time he showed up. And by the way, Peter, later on in chapter 10 of Acts, brings this exact episode back up to say that, oh, yeah, remember when Jesus was on the shore and he ate with us? And Jesus is doing this to say, listen, I have work for you to do. I have a responsibility for you out in this world. And there's a great mission. There's a great responsibility that God is equipping the disciples to take care of. The reason why we're here today is because of the mission that God gave to these disciples. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, to everybody. Amen. And that's why we're here today. Because somebody preached the gospel. Right. Somebody stood up and said what Jesus said. Somebody stood up and said the word of God just the way the word of God needed to be said. And because of that, God, the Holy Spirit, began to work in our heart. And that's what conviction is. Did you know that Jesus taught his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment? That word reprove means to convict. And that when you hear the message of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit convicts you. Did you know when you hear that conviction in your soul that it's not a person doing that, but it's God? That means he's speaking to you. And that ought to remind you that he's there. It ought to remind you that he's not left you. The scripture plainly says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. So he's made a promise that he'll be there. And he does affirm that in us when we hear his message. And he says, come and dine. By the way, that's what we're doing this morning, right? We're coming and dining. We're feasting on the manna of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit begins to say, won't you come and dine? And it's personal, isn't it? This isn't technical. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. This is not some sort of an exercise that we're doing. Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to put in my hours and we're going to do church and we're going to study the Bible and then I'll be all set for the week. No, no, no. It's a relationship. You need to meet with God this morning, but you need to meet with God tonight and you need to meet with God tomorrow morning and at noon and at night and all throughout the week. It's relationship and it needs to be maintained. And what God does is he affirms, he speaks to us, he convicts us, he reproves us. And part of that not only is to draw us to him to say, come and dine, to be in a relationship and to be close to me, but also to remind us that he's there. And the disciples would need that. They would need that reminder. Can I say that you and I need that reminder too? You and I need to be reminded that he's there because we forget. And we get distracted. We get distracted. And so that we leave this place. Like, Pastor, didn't you talk about this last week? Yeah, we'll probably talk about it next week too. Because we get distracted. And we leave this place and the things around us, the peripherals. Peripherals? I think I said it right the second time. Don't ask me to spell it. They get our attention. And we're not giving our attention to God. We're not looking to him. And so those distractions, they pull us away. And we think we allow those things to convince us that they can fill us. They can satisfy, they can do something for us. Doing it our way, doing it with our self in mind and our own motives in mind and our own end in mind, that we can find some kind of satisfaction in this life. You know, that a sermon about being satisfied in God, that almost feels elusive sometimes, doesn't it? Elusive in the sense like being satisfied, what does that even really mean ultimately? Because, you know, there are things in this world that satiate us in a sense like temporarily. But it's not the kind of satisfaction that you can only get from God, because it will leave you empty. It will leave you without anything. It'll leave you with nothingness. As a matter of fact, it'll leave you with brokenness. And so we leave this place and there's distractions all around us. And let me say this morning, there's a good chance that there are some of you this morning that you're here and you feel broken. You feel lost. You feel like, life is kind of like nothingness for me right now. And I'm actually looking for some answers. You might be here this morning, and that's how you feel. Well, I'm glad you're here, because this is what Jesus, I think, is trying to say to his disciples. I can fill your net. You can do it your way, but you'll end up with nothing. You can do it your way, but you'll end up with brokenness. And you can let me convince you of that through the work of the Holy Ghost in you, or you can just keep doing it your way. But I can fill you, he says.
Right. Amen.
Well, I was the cook in high school at my school. It was a Christian school. It was a small school. And so it was a part of the fundraiser. We were trying to raise money to go to Israel. And so I was on a rotation with the other seniors to make the meals. When it was my turn to make the meals, everybody was excited because I always gave extra food. I mean, too much, actually. And we did not make any money when I was the cook, believe me. Because when I cooked, I did it like, well, if I was ordering this, how much would I want? And that's how much food I gave to everybody. So they're like, oh man, I love it when you're the cook, right? Because it was, when you got a plate of fries, I mean, it was full. It was like French fries were falling off the edge of the plate all around it, and it was piled high, you know? Here's what the world says. The world says it'll fill your plate. The world says that. The world says it will be overflowing, and if you seek the kind of satisfaction that you're looking for and the answers that you're looking for, if you'll seek it in the world, if you'll seek it in these lustful things, in the things that take you away from God, then he'll give it to you. But here's the problem with it. It's a lie. It's almost as though the devil will eat up all the French fries and he'll give you an empty plate. That's what you'll find in this world. And I think that's what ends up happening in our life sometimes. Where we begin to embrace some of these philosophies of the world around us. And we think that it'll satisfy, it'll do something for us, but it won't. It'll leave you empty. It'll leave you empty. Does that just happen to lost people? No, it happens to lost people and saved people. Because Jesus is the only one who can fill your net. There was a young man, saved young man, I was visiting with just last week. And he said, Pastor, if you're saved, do you still... He asked me this. He said, if you're saved, do you still need deliverance? And I said, absolutely. Not deliverance so that you can be saved, because in salvation, we've been born again. And we're secure in Christ. Amen to that. Okay, so we have security in Christ, but then what do we need deliverance from? Well, the scripture teaches about a conflict that's going on the inside of us. It's called the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians talks all about it. And so they're in Corinthians as well. So there's a conflict that's going on in us, a war that's raging in us. And what we need is God to equip us through the work of the Holy Ghost so that we would walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so that's the conflict that takes place in us. That's the battle for deliverance that we need God to do in us. And listen, you're not going to find it in your own strength. You're not going to find it doing it your way. And you can keep trying to do it your way. You can keep putting your expectation at the height and saying, God, if it happens this way, then I'll find satisfaction. But you won't, because it'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. Like, but if it could just go like this, then I know that I'll be satisfied and pleased. Watch, it probably won't go that way, number one. But number two, even if it did go that way, it won't satisfy you. It will never be enough. Because the only one who can fill your net is Jesus. And so what you need to do is stop trying to do it in the flesh. Stop trying to, you know, please God and live this life with some kind of a joy and some kind of a satisfaction and finding some sort of a peace in this life, but you're doing it your way. You'll never find it. It's like a young person who's looking for somebody that they'll spend the rest of their life with. I mean, if there's anything the devil, number one, wants to try to steal away from you, it's your salvation. He doesn't want you to be exposed to the gospel. He'll do every. If you're lost this morning, you're in a good place. Okay? Let me come down here because I want you to understand this. If you're lost this morning, you're in a good place. Why? Because you have a chance. Give me your attention. Because you have a chance. If you'll listen, the Holy Ghost will work in your heart and he'll speak to you. He'll say, you know what? You need to be saved. And you know, that's not the pastor doing that. That's God, the Holy Spirit, working in you. And he's calling you. It's like he's saying, come and dine. Won't you come into a relationship with me? Won't you come and surrender your heart to me and ask for salvation? Listen, he can save you this morning. And so you're in a good place because you're hearing the gospel. You can hear the work of the Holy Ghost and you have a chance. You can be saved. But this morning, if you are looking for answers in the things of this life, like for example, a young person looking for somebody that they'll spend the rest of their life with, and you're looking for that, and you want the right one, and you want to make sure that you don't mess that up, the devil wants to take your salvation. If he can't get that, you know what he's going to try to mess up? He's going to try to mess up who you get married to. I need somebody else to say amen to this. He's going to try to mess up who you get married to. And so he's going to bring people along the way that'll tempt you and pull you away. And what we need to do is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. We need to let Jesus fill our net. Amen. We need to decide that, you know what, if I'm going to be on the right path, then I need to do it Jesus' way. I don't need to do this my way. And so there's some teenagers that are here this morning. You know what you need to stop doing? You need to stop pursuing relationships with people. Why? What relationships? What do you mean? Like, can we be friends? Absolutely, you can be friends. But you need to stop pursuing romance. You know why? Because you're not ready for it. You know what you're doing when you're a teenager and you're pursuing romance? You're trying to fill your net. And you're going to end up empty. You know what you're actually going to end up? Not just empty, you're going to end up broken. You need to stop trying to fill your net. You need to let God fill your net. Jesus can do it. If you're just patient and you let God do this, and you seek Him, you give your gaze to Him, you focus on Him, and He starts to fill your net, I mean, he'll fill it to capacity, and you'll be filled with joy with great fishes, and you'll think, this is so much better than I ever dreamed it would be, and it's without brokenness. That's what Jesus can do.
Amen.
That's the difference between you doing it your way and then letting Jesus fill your net. I think the rest of us, you know, we could be touched by this. Where we're in life, we're trying to live life and do it our way. I mean, we could be in our marriage, it could be in our job, it could be in our finances, and we have all these different, you know, things that are alluring or tempting us, and we're thinking, well, you know, if I just do this, then things will work out this way. Yeah, it will work out in a certain way if you're letting Jesus fill your net. But if you're doing it your way, it's going to leave you empty, and it's going to leave you broken, and it'll happen every time. It can't be avoided. That's the message this morning. So it's like, we need to surrender ourselves. We need to submit ourselves. We need to decide, you know what? I don't want to do this my way anymore. I'm kind of tired of where this is leading me. I'm tired of being at the bottom. And it's just where I take myself every time. So what do? We submit ourselves. We surrender to Him. We give it to Him. It's like we turn it over to Jesus. And we say, listen, I've been trying to fill this net. I've been trying to do it my way, and it is not working. But I know you can fill it. And I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to make a commitment that I'm not going to try anymore to do this my way. I'm not going to let my expectations be the end. Can I say that again? Let's try to understand that. I'm not going to let my expectations be the end. That brings fulfillment in my life. Why? Because it won't. Only Jesus can. You have to submit to Him, though. There's a fight going on. Guess who it's against? It's between you and God. And it's going on in you. And you would be wise to lay your arms down and open your heart and say, Lord, I just want to submit to You. I want to let You have my life. I want to let You have everything. And I want to let You fill my net. I'm going to say two things and then we're done. If you're lost this morning, if you're lost, you'll search and you'll search, but you'll find nothing. You'll find emptiness and brokenness. And maybe God has you here this morning just to call you again. Come and dine. Will you come to Me? This is a proposal. This is an invitation where Jesus says, will you come to Me? Will you come to a relationship with Me? And that's between God and you. Let me encourage you to come. To come and dine. To come and say, I'm going to submit myself to You. I want to be saved. I want to be in a relationship with You. I don't want to fight anymore. It's not worth it. And He'll heal you. He'll give you salvation. But you have to make that choice. And you have a chance for that. That's number one. Number two, there might be some of us, you've been trying to do it your way. You already are saved. And there's a conflict, a fight going on in you between your flesh and your spirit. And your flesh has been winning. And you've been in the flesh. And you've not been meditating. And you've been doing it your way. And you know what? It's been hurting you. And you've been wondering, why do I feel lost? Why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel so broken? It's because you've been doing it your way. You need to lay your arms down. You need to open yourself up. and say, God, I don't want to do it my way anymore. I don't want my expectation to be the end. I want you to fill my net. I want you to fill my net. And you know what he'll do? He'll fill it with great fishes. Great fishes. That's what we want.